man be in Christ,
yes,
he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The greatest thing for one to become or to be in this world is a Christian. Paul, as he writes to this group of Christians at Corinth, he wanted them to know the importance and the significance of being in Christ. You know, it's always a joy to see one rise from the watery grave of baptism, having obeyed the gospel of Christ. And to see that individual grow in Christ. And when people who may not be in Christ, may not necessarily understand all that is involved, when they observe this person, they sense something very meaningful in their life, especially as they grow and changes begin to take place in him or her, becoming more and more like Christ. But often, even for those who are Christians, sometimes the significance of being one appears sometimes to be lost in their minds, not realizing again what a blessing it is to be in Christ. I would encourage us all this morning to always appreciate the significance of being a Christian. And when one does not appreciate the significance of being a Christian, then they will not grow as they should. But I hope that all of us are interested in growth. For the Bible does teach us, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, that we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to examine some things about a Christian this morning that should cause each one of us who are children of God to appreciate being one, and hopefully encourage those who are not yet Christians to become one. There are some new things about a Christian. We all like new things, don't we?
Amen.
The greatest new thing, again, that we can enjoy is being a Christian. When we look again at what the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the first part of it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Being in Christ, then, makes one a new creation. And all of us need to be a new creation, because sin comes and permeates all of our lives. As Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Until we become new creations, we will not be able to please God. For we cannot please God in that old selfish way, that old fleshly way, that old sinful, wretched, that old way of degradation. So again, we ought to be thankful that to be in Christ, we become new creatures. Paul went on to say, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Anybody in here this morning satisfied with their old life? If we realize what that old life did for us, kept us separated from God, how could we ever be satisfied with that old life? Thank God, then, for the chance to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. One becomes this new creation by experiencing a new birth. in a conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, except you become a new creature, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto them, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. One is born of the water, and when he's baptized, and of the spirit, when he responds to the word of God. For it is the word of God that begets one, or that gives one this new birth. James chapter 1 and verse number 18, James said it like this. He says, Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will he begat us. He gave us birth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Peter says this. He says, Seeing you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth through the what? Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives us the word. And when we obey the truth, then we come into that relationship with God. And we're born again. That old life has passed away. Everything now has become new. Thank God this morning for the new life in Christ Jesus. If it were not for God's own will, if it were not for the gift of his Son, we'd have to walk through life never having any hope of seeing God's face in peace, because we all would die in our sins. Jesus says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. I'm thankful this morning for the opportunity of being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, there's some new things about a Christian. This new creation then embarks on a life of renewal. And that's why Paul could say to the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4 and verse number 16, after he had talked about all of the things that were going on, the perplexities and all of the sufferings and that kind of thing that was going on with him. He's had this to say. He says, For which cause we faint not. We don't give up hope. We don't throw in the towel. We don't give it up, throw our hands up. He says, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day, brothers and sisters, when we wake up, we ought to be living a renewed life in Jesus Christ. And that is only possible by being a new creature. And that's why I say, if you're not in Christ, you ought to want to be. And if you don't want to be, you need to be. Let me encourage you to want to be, so that you will see the necessity of needing to be. If you're not a child of God, not a member of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to obey the Lord so that he can add you to the church that he purchased with his own blood, the church of Christ, and become this new creature so that you can be renewed day by day. Have your headaches? Yes. outwardly. But inwardly, you're being renewed. You have your backaches outwardly. You have your heartaches. You have your problems. You have your struggles. You have your cares. But inwardly, we can be renewed day by day. Thank God for this new creation that we can enjoy in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about new things about a Christian. Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? This renewal is ongoing, and it's involved the renewal of one's mind. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Paul said this to the church at Rome. He said, "And be not conformed to this present world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We ought to want our minds renewed. There's enough trash in there. We need to get all of that stuff out. We need a new mind. Oh, yes, oh, yes. That only happens by being in Christ. So this renewal then is a daily thing. Not only is one a new creation, but being this new creation then brings on a new responsibility. And therefore, this new creation then produces or should produce a new life. Again, Paul says, old things have passed away. Clubbing ought to be gone. Drinking, gambling ought to be gone. Lying ought to be gone. Telling dirty jokes ought to be gone. Living immoral lives ought to be gone. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, becoming a Christian then, one has passed from death to life. Yes. Jesus said this in John chapter 5 and verse 24 and 25. He said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." But what, Jesus? "But is passed from death unto life." Amen. It's a wonderful thing to pass from death unto life. Yes. Passing from spiritual death, he's talking about, unto eternal life, or everlasting life of God. Yes. Oh, you see, in our sins and our transgressions, we were spiritually dead. Yes. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 5, Paul says this, "And you, has he quickened or has he made alive who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins." But then he goes on and says in verse number 2, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world." That's that old life. That's the thing that should have passed away. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And he goes on and says in the next verse, "Among whom also we all," every one of us in here, every one of us had a dead past, lived spiritually dead. We all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But oh, thank God for what he continues to say. But God. That's an important phrase there, brothers and sisters. But God. If it had not been for God, we'd still be in that junk. But God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive, has quickened us together with Christ. And it's all because of His grace. By grace are you saved. So, we were once dead in sin, but now we are made alive in Christ. Even when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12, he said this. He says, "Buried with him in baptism." And that's why, again, it's, baptism is so important. I know the religious world plays down baptism. They say you don't need to be baptized. You can be baptized if you want to be, but you really don't need to be. But I beg to differ. We need to be baptized. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Verse 12 says, or verse 13 rather says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having what? Forgiven you all trespasses." When did the forgiveness take place? It takes place in baptism. Acts 2 and verse 38, check your Bible. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." That's why I know baptism is a necessity. It's important if we're going to get rid of our sin problem, if you're going to get rid of all of the junk problem that was in our lives, all of the filth that was in our lives, if we're going to get rid of that, we must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, it's so wonderful to be in Christ. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing to be in Christ. And once we are forgiven of our sins, then we have the promise of life eternal. That life eternal comes only through His Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says this, "And this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life." And this life is where? In the Son. He's given it to us. It's in the Son. But we got to go get it. He's given it. He's made it available for us. It's in the Son. But we've got to go and get it. I'm simply saying we got to do what's necessary for us to get it. It's there for us. But we got to get it. It's in the Son. He that has the Son, the Bible says, has what? Life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know. You don't have to guess about it. You may know that you have eternal life. That you believe, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Oh, those are wonderful promises. That we can walk through this life knowing that we have eternal life. We can walk through this life knowing that we're going to heaven. Somebody says, "I hope I go." Well, if that hope is just a shallow hope, we don't need to have a shallow hope. We need to have a hope that is sure, the Bible says, and steadfast. And that hope, again, is in Christ doing His will, and we can know that we're going to heaven. Yes, indeed, life is in the Son. And so one then has passed from death to life. But not only has he passed from death to life, he's passed from darkness to light. Look at what the Bible says. Verse Acts chapter 26. Verse number 15 through 18. Paul is standing before the council, giving a defense of himself for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's bad sometimes when you have to defend yourself for telling the truth. But we need to be set, as Paul said, to the Philippian church for the defense
of the gospel.
Don't be afraid to stand up and say what you believe and why you believe what you believe. Don't be afraid to stand up and say that I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, if you're going to heaven, you must be a member of the Church of Christ. I hope I'm helping somebody on this evangelism day. That you might be in Christ, be in the church that he purchased with his own blood. So Paul is standing now before the council and he's defending himself. He was on his way to Jerusalem to be tried, if you will, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then he says this, and I said, this is what he said, who art thou? He's talking about what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 16 says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. And of the Bible says, those things in which I will appear unto thee, and to delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open thy eyes and to turn them what? From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. That's the purpose of the gospel, is to turn people from darkness to light. There are so many folks in darkness, walking around in darkness, and many folks think they're walking in light. Folks who are drowning themselves in denominationalism. That's not light. That's darkness. God has never approved of denominationalism. God has only approved of one way. And that one way is in his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants everybody to be united in Jesus Christ. Not one group teaching and preaching one thing and another group teaching and preaching another thing. He wants everybody teaching and preaching the same thing, and that is the same thing that the apostles taught and preached. If you've been listening to the radio program, I've been dealing with continuing in the apostles' doctrine. We get what we teach from the apostles. The apostles got what they taught from the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit came from God. We dare not teach anything but what the apostles taught. There are so many folks today teaching other things other than what the apostles taught. I just talked about one earlier. Folks who are saying baptism is not necessary for salvation. Folks are believing that. That's walking in darkness. The truth of God's word said that baptism is necessary for salvation. Folks talking about one church is as good as another church. That's darkness. God has never taught in his word one church is as good as another church. Why hasn't he taught that? Because he only has taught one church. No way he could teach one church is as good as another church if he only teaches one church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23 points out that Christ is the head of the body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says there is one body. Ephesians 1, 23 says the body is the church. If the church is the body, there is one body. Just one church. The folks who are teaching one church is as good as another church, walking in darkness. But the gospel was designed to lead folks out of that, out of darkness into the light, to see the truth of God's word. God wants everybody to be members of the same body. Ephesians 3 and verse number 6. The same body. The objective then, again, of gospel preaching is to turn people from darkness to light. Now, once we have been turned from darkness to light, then we ought to walk, when we obey the gospel, that is, I'm talking to us, we who have obeyed the gospel now. We ought to walk in light. Ephesians 5 and verse number 8 says, for ye sometimes, you were sometimes, what? Darkness. But now are you, what? Light in the Lord. Now, since we're light in the Lord, then why are we still walking in darkness? Why are we still going back to those old ways? Picking up those old ways, putting on those old clothes. If we're in light, we ought to walk as children of the light. I want to encourage us. Let's walk as children of the light. That's the only way folks are going to see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. In view of the fact then that we have been made to walk in light, we ought to be so thankful. We ought to be such a thankful people. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says, do what? Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, fit, that is, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Where? In light. There's no inheritance of the saints in darkness. The inheritance of the saints only come in light. And we ought to be so thankful. Verse 13 says this, who has done what? Delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thank God for delivering us from the power of darkness. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, we ought to be a thankful people. How many times do we thank God for delivering us from that old life? Oh, we ought to be a thankful people. I'm talking about new things about Christians. Lastly this morning, not only is a Christian a new creation, not only is a Christian should be walking in a new life, but a Christian has a new loyalty. And that's where the problem comes in a lot of times. It's hard to get folks to be loyal. Hard to get folks to be committed. Hard to get folks to stake their claim and say, I'm going to stick with you, Lord, no matter what. That's what loyalty is all about. Yes, indeed. You see, a Christian is a converted person. I'm talking about a true Christian now. Is a converted person. A Christian is one who has turned from that old life and has turned to the new life and is now dedicated to the new life. We read about this even in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Paul said this concerning the Thessalonian Christians. He says, for they showed of us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you are ye. What did you do? Turn to God from idols to serve the living God. So many folks, it's hard for folks to stay with God. Amen. Once they turn from idols, they want to keep dipping and dabbing back and forth. You know the reason why they do that? They're not loyal, not committed. We need to be a loyal people. We need to be a committed people. Once we make the break, let's let the break stay there between us and that old world. Stay with God. As we say many times, go with God. Sometimes people use that term tritely, just a thing to say, go with God. But go with God means stay with God. Do what God wants us to do. Live like he wants us to live. Talk like he wants us to talk. Walk like he wants us to walk. That only happens with a converted person, a person who is loyal to God. Yes, indeed. We need to be like Paul told the church at Rome. Romans chapter 6, verse number 16, he says this. He says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death? But we just, if we obey the gospel, it just came from death. Why go back to it? He says, whether unto sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. Which one would you choose? I know all of us would want to choose this one. We want to obey unto righteousness. Verse number 17, he says this, but God bethink that you what? Were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made what?
Free
from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. Once you become free, why go back into slavery again? Why go back into bondage again? Why not enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus? Oh, we ought to be a thankful people again that God has freed us in Christ Jesus. So a loyal person then is a person who is converted to God, a person who is converted to Jesus Christ. And they are converted to God and Jesus Christ and to his will and his way above anything and everything else. Above family. Above their own selves. Above anything else in this world. Matthew chapter 10 is a good example of what Jesus talks about when he talks about being loyal. He says in verse number 37, Matthew chapter 10, he says, but he that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I've talked to some folks that won't obey the gospel because they're concerned about mother and father. Or they're concerned about what another relative would say. We need to be concerned about the Lord, what he's going to say. The Lord is going to have the last say. Not mom and daddy, not friend, and certainly not enemy. The Lord is going to have the last say. So he says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not what?
Worthy
of me. You know what Jesus is saying there? If I could say it in today's term, he's saying that if you love mom and daddy, or if you love somebody else more than me, go on about your way. Because you ain't even worthy of me. As I've said so many times, the Lord will have all of us or none of us. I'm talking about individually. He's going to have all of me or none of me. I'm going to have to dedicate myself totally to him, or he's not going to have a part of me. That's what loyalty is all about. And then he goes on to say, he that loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then he says in the next verse, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You see, all those times he talked about not worthy of him? We got to be loyal to Christ. We got to be loyal to our God. In verse 39, he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Do you want God's approval in your life? You got to be loyal to him. Above anything and everything else in this world. When one then makes God and when one makes Christ their choice, then loyalty, it'll come. And that's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know what is wrong with so many folks? They don't let Christ live in them. Christ must take up residence in our lives and live with us and live in us. Paul says, I'm crucified. I'm crucified. I'm giving my life over to Christ. I am becoming loyal. I have become loyal to Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the kind of loyalty we got to have, brothers and sisters. We got to put our trust and our faith in God. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. The church that Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Don't you want to be a member of that church so that you can enjoy the new creation? So that you can enjoy walking in the newness of life? And so that you can have that new loyalty, commitment to Christ? Don't be loyal to something that's going to pass away. A lot of folks are loyal to the world, loyal to the pleasures of this life. All of that stuff going to pass away. We need to be loyal to Christ. I talked about denominationalism, other churches. Folks are loyal to other churches. They're going to pass away one day. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 13. He says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. He wasn't talking about turnip greens. Wasn't talking about collard greens, no matter how good they taste in the fall when the frost fall on. Wasn't talking about apples and oranges. He was talking about religious teaching. The only thing that's going to stand in the last day is the apostles' doctrine. We got to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And again, the apostles' doctrine only contain one church, the church of Christ. Would you come and be a member of that church today? Turn away from everything in your life that's wrong, including religious affiliations. Would you turn away from those things and turn to Christ? Would you believe in him as the Son of God? Would you make that confession that you do believe that he is the Son of God? And would you go down in a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins? Be buried. Baptism doesn't have but one mode. And that's a barrier. Some folks in the religious world say you just got to be baptized. They'll give you a choice. You can be buried, you can be sprinkled, or you can be poured. But the scripture only knows one kind. Burial. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him in baptism. You need to be buried with your Lord in baptism. And you know what burial means. Cover it up. But you come to the Lord today. Let him add you to his church. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but you realize you're not being loyal, you're not committed, you're putting other things ahead of Christ. Just remember what the scripture said that we just read. Christ said, you ain't worthy. If I'm putting something else above him, I'm not worthy of him. Believe you me, if I'm not worthy of him, he's not going to have anybody with him that's worth it. So let's be thankful again that he has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And obey him and live faithful unto death. So if anyone this morning need to be baptized, or need to confess of an erring way of which you repent, or maybe you just need prayer, whatever your need is, we're begging you to come. Come and enjoy the new things of a Christian. Would you come right now while we stand? While we stand.